fell into darkness, a call rang out across the land. Lair Adams, entertainer and entrepreneur, answered the call. He joined forces with friend, businessman, and scholar, Christopher Hart. They team with lifelong radio pro Nostra Dennis. Together, they are guardians of liberty and the American way.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the champions of political professional wrestling, Lair Adams, Nostra Dennis, and Christopher Hart. The American Adversaries, Drive Time.
So Governor Scott Walker didn't pass the mass hysteria media's smell test because he answered a totally stupid question with the indisputable, truthful answer, I don't know. Rather than fall into their little high schoolish trap. Well, do you think President Obama is a Christian? He honestly said he didn't know. Who does? Let's face it. The only answer these amoeba brains would be satisfied with is, oh, of course America's greatest president is a devout Christian and so godly. I'm a fool for even thinking of replacing this saint of a man. But remember, there's no bias in their reporting. I'm Lair Adams, and I'm biased in a good way because I'm on the American Adversaries Drive Time, airing on AM 660, The Answer. Our host is no saint. He's a say-it-ain't-so, Christopher Hart.
All right, thanks so much, Lair Adams, and thank you, ladies and gentlemen, once again for being with us on a damp but nonetheless beautiful, Tuesday afternoon here
it's
in Central Florida.
It's going to get wetter, they say.
We're going to have some little bit of rain this week on and off, but hopefully you'll still enjoy listening to us through the clouds, as it were, as we come to you live from the Mercury Free Broadcasting Studios. And don't forget, for the very best in Mercury Free dental care, call my dentist, Dr. James E. Hardy, at 407-678-3399. And don't forget to ask him about his book, Mercury Free. Got a really big show, once again, lined up for you, I think, tonight, folks. Lair Adams and I will be in the studio. Nostra Dennis will be joining us later on. Nick LoCicero, of course, is on the bridge. But Senator Ron Johnson is going to join us. And, of course, he's the
great guest.
Yeah, senator from Wisconsin. So we can ask him about Scott Walker and his campaign, evidently, for president and what's been going on in Wisconsin. We're also going to talk to him about a number of other things, but you can join us in that conversation as well. And we're going to go the whole half hour, the second half of the show, without a commercial break. Not the second segment, the second half, starting at 5:35. We're going to go from there to the top to get in as many questions and answers as we can from Senator Ron Johnson. But once again, we invite you to call if you have a question for the man as well. All right, we want to thank you folks for the overwhelming response to the offer to come out and see American Sniper tonight. Tonight's show is sold out, or I guess because we gave the tickets were given away by Arms Room Radio, it is doled out. But
it's what they call SRO, standing room only.
But as soon as the show's over, I'm going to be hightailing it down there, so I look forward to meeting a lot of you tonight. And but now, tomorrow, there are still some tickets available, okay? They're going quickly, though, so I wouldn't wait around until tomorrow if you want to see this movie for free. And if you haven't got a ticket lined up for tonight, it's too late for tonight, but you still got a chance to get in to see it tomorrow. And once again, it's at the Fashion Square Premier Cinema 14, and it's at 7:30. But you have to get the tickets by going to am660theanswer.com. Okay, you can't show up there tomorrow night and think you'll find a ticket. No, you have to go to am660theanswer.com to get those tickets. And as I said, you may not want to wait until tomorrow, even tomorrow morning, because it may very well be too late. But certainly,
tonight's sold out.
Yeah. So anyway, it's once again, this is free. It's being sponsored by Arms Room Radio. And don't forget, you can catch those guys. They do a great show live here every Saturday afternoon at 3 p.m. And Max Law of Orlando. And, of course, Kevin is part of the Arms Room Radio show. And so Arms Room Radio and Max Law are splurging tonight. And we look forward to seeing you out there. So once again, tomorrow night you can get tickets at at American Avenue. At AM660TheAnswer.com. Okay. All right. We got, as I said, we got a lot to talk about tonight. No Keystone. Nope. No, the president's wielded his veto pen, or is wielding it as we speak, for the third time in his entire administration. And vetoing the Keystone Pipeline, which obviously for it to even, if you've been watching what's going on in the Senate, the fact that it even made it to his desk means that there were a number of Democrats voted along, you know, with Republicans on this. So we shall see where this goes after this. But, you know, just the other day, actually I say the other day, it's, the days run together for me anymore, but I guess it was about last week, the beginning of last week, maybe it was the end of the week before, there was another train derailment up in, I think it was in Kentucky.
Actually, one today, too.
Yeah, but that was a passenger train.
Yeah.
This was an all train, you know, hauling the light squeak crude.
Spilled its stuff.
And exploded into this huge fireball. A number of people lost their homes. I don't believe anyone was killed, but a number of people lost their homes, and a number of other people had to be evacuated. A boil water alert because the number of the cars tumbled into a river or a stream and of course, contaminated the water. And
what about the air pollution?
And guess what? Here's the really, well, I guess we could call it bad news. These were newer model rail cars. In other words, these were the cars that were supposed to be able to withstand such a derailment. And obviously they failed miserably. And the, transporting oil by rail and truck is, except when it comes to the gas at the end of the line. Now, that's actually a pretty efficient way to get it from a depot station to the actual gas stations where we gas up our cars by those big trucks. However, to get it to those depot stations and to get the oil to the refineries, transporting it by any kind of thing other than pipelines is not only totally inefficient, but is very unsafe as well, and the most environmentally damaging. I mean, if you have a break in a pipeline, the pipelines will alert the way the pipelines are built. They alert the center that there's been a breach in the line. They go out and basically overnight they dig the thing up and replace it. This is what the president is doing is
he's supporting his the people that have backed him.
Well, and this just betrays the lie of the green movement, because the green movement ain't about green unless it's green backs, dollar bills,
cash.
You got it. So you know, the likes of his old buddy Warren Buffett, you know, who owns
Train
the,
Man.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I just hope that somebody in that town up there sues the pants off of Warren Buffett, if that happens to be one of his rail lines, and I believe it was a CSX, and I think he owns, I know he has a lot of Burlington Northern.
CSX but, Intermodal, right?
Rail line, yeah, but, so anyway, that's Keystone, that fight's going to be now for another day. Also, there will be no charges against George Zimmerman by the federal government, civil rights charges. If you've been listening to Mick Dolan in the news here, that's been broadcast this afternoon. And about time they ended that investigation. Obviously, they had to drop the investigation and drop, you know, any pretense of charges, because there was nothing there.
Hmm. He was found innocent.
Yeah, they couldn't. Well, and not only that, but this was to see if he acted with any sort of racial motivation. And they could not find any evidence whatsoever that he did. Now, I challenge the Justice Department to drop a similar but even worse investigation. If you happen to listen to our Sunday night show, folks, we talked about this. If you didn't listen to our Sunday night show, there was an excellent article in the sports page of the Orlando Sentinel on Sunday about a kid named Brian Bell, who plays football at a high school in Georgia. He had been recruited and was going to sign a scholarship with Florida State University. The day before signing day, the university said, oh, no, I'm sorry, you can't go to school here. Because on Facebook, He has been accused of killing a guy named Kendrick Johnson. Now, unfortunately,
who died accidentally.
This kid, Kendrick Johnson, he's 17 years old, going to high school. He had been in gym class. He had left gym class and realized he forgot his tennis shoes, and he had left his tennis shoes on top of the mats that they use for gymnastics and wrestling and such, which fold up, and they had been stacked up about 6 or 8 feet high. And he had put his shoes up on top. So he climbed up on top to get his shoes, fell down between the mats, and asphyxiated himself. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Fell down upside down. Nobody knew he was there. He might was even been screaming, and the mats probably would have blunted
muffled.
Exactly. Thank you. The sound of his voice. He wasn't found till the next day when kids started to pull the mats out to do, you know, class. All right. Well, this kid, Brian Bell, who video evidence shows him being in the classroom at the time, and his brother, who was 100-some-odd miles away in a wrestling match in a whole other city across the state, have been accused of killing this guy. And Al Sharpton has been right in on it. Yeah, he's gotten his money-grubbing hands in on this, and I'm going to talk about that here when we come back from the break. But I challenged the Justice Department because they're also now investigating this. And by the way, and once again, I'm reviewing, and folks, you need to go to our website if you don't catch our Sunday night show and listen into it. Nick puts it up there every Monday after the Monday show, AmericanAdversariesRadio.com, and that's on the webpage side. You don't have to be a recruit to get that. The people who have been looking into this, one was a woman who was with the NAACP, had spent her whole life in the civil rights movement, if you will. She looked into it, found there's no evidence whatsoever, and said it was a terrible accident. Well, the likes of Al Sharpton and Ben Crump, remember old Benji? Crump?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's right in the middle of this, too. Well, old Ben Crump and Al Sharpton said, well, that's not good enough, and they got her basically to resign. And why? Because she's white. But then they got a fellow Reverend Floyd, the 76-year-old pastor, black man. He looked into it too, said the same thing. So now he's being ostracized, called an Uncle Tom. This is criminal. This is criminal activity, because what it boils down to is a shakedown.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, by the way, folks, that's not my word. I'm talking about Al Shakedown Sharpton. We got a brand new nickname for Not So Sharpton. We're going to start calling him Shakedown Sharpton because that's what the Trayvon Martin family says he does. That's what the Garner family, the fellow who was killed up there in New York with the chokehold. That's what his family says he does. And guess what? That's what the Brown family says in Ferguson that he does, too.
And so does MSNBC, Chris.
Shakedown artist.
Now they're suing them because they want to move his show to weekends. He's so unpopular, yeah. He can't get the numbers. And now it's a racial reason.
Yeah. All right. We'll be right back.
You got to keep them separated.
All right. Welcome back to the show, folks. That's right. You got the American Adversaries in drive time on AM 660. The answer, 407-774-8255 is the number. Don't forget, Ron Johnson, Senator from Wisconsin, will be joining us for the second half of the show. And you can as well. You
know, write down your questions.
There you go. We're talking about Al Shakedown Sharpton. You know, there are some videos that are coming out by this group Veritas. And if you remember them, they're the ones who sort of infiltrated Acorn and exposed Acorn. Same thing here. Although this was not an infiltration thing. They're going and just basically interviewing these people, including Erica Garner, the daughter of this fellow Garner who was killed in New York, and members of the Trayvon Martin family clan, and others, and people in Ferguson. And what they say is that Al Sharpton, he comes in, he knows how to take over the situation and make the dollars. And he wants basically, and this is the criminal thing, is he's making a market out of the tragedy and death in these people's lives. In other words, he's made Trayvon Martin a commodity for himself. You know, a money-making entity, if you will, which I don't see how that can bring about any kind of justice or anything like that. It makes him a wealthy man, makes him wear silk underwear, but it doesn't do much for the Trayvon Martin family, except, if you will, take money out of their pockets, too.
The lacrosse team, Tawana Brawley, look at all these misses.
But he has found a way. It's a little cottage industry that him and Jess Jackson, now Jess Jackson's a little bit different. You know, he goes around and extorts money out of corporations. But old Al Shakedown Sharpton has made a cottage industry of latching on to the tragedy, whether whether it be supposed, as in the lacrosse, or real, as in the case of Trayvon Martin and Brown and Ferguson and Garner in New York, he comes in and he's basically commandeers the body. So, you know, I'm gonna now make some money off this body. I'm going to make some money off this. And it's before the body.
Worse than an ambulance chaser.
Worse. Much worse. Much worse. Because he doesn't want anybody else to have a piece of the action. It's all for him, you see? Even before the bodies are cold, he's there to put his stamp on, and I mean literally, on everything. Their logo, their rights and agreements and all this. Oh, he's got a nice little deal going there. And he gets this little residual income. You know, he's probably still making money off Trayvon Martin. Now he's making money off Brown, and now he's making money off... Who's going to be next?
And the IRS, he owes the IRS money, and they're sure not going to go after him because who's in their pocket?
And oh, by the way, yes, he was right in the middle of this situation, that FSU and this kid Bell falsely being accused of killing this kid, Kendrick Johnson. Oh, yeah, Al Sharpton was there, too, with a big old rally and everything. Yeah, yeah, he put his stamp all over that. But there's something in the air. And no, it's not what's on the bottom of my shoe that I stepped in this afternoon. No, it's because I washed that off real good.
Oh, you got some Sharpton on your shoe there, Chris?
It stinks like it, I'll tell you that right now. But no, it kind of was coming on me last week when that White House summit was going on. That summit was not supposed to happen until this fall, folks. For some reason, the president deemed it necessary to move that White House summit on violent extremism up to show that he was doing something. And now these allegations, or I should say revelations, are coming out about Shakedown Sharpton. He's been booted out at MSNBC. Yeah, there's now a lawsuit. Something has changed. Something is going on. There's been a seasonal shift. It's been subtle. Something is different. The same old lies aren't working quite so well anymore. They're being revealed to be what they are. Just look at the summit. President Obama thought that he was going to show the world how he's in control, and yeah, he's smarter than everybody. He's got all the nuances down. You know, he's got his little lackey girls out there to tell us how stupid we are and how smart he is. And he comes out doing, tell us all about the nuances, you see. And about the Muslims and all this nonsense. That was to show us, you know, he's really man in control. Didn't work. Nobody bought it. Nobody bought it. And the calls for more action are getting louder. The calls of the warnings are getting more, shall we say, intense. And the threats from the enemy are looming larger and more real than ever. Oh, yes, something is going on. Something's changing. You can say divine intervention is at work. I think it's always at work. But something is a little bit different. I just feel it in my bones.
Could it be a collapse in the House of Cards?
Yeah.
Built on a poor foundation?
Yes, because it was like a House of Cards. There was no real foundation. Yeah, they were just standing there leaning against one another, and once one begins to topple, they all begin to topple. And this thing with the Keystone Pipeline today, I think that this is going to reverberate badly for the president. There are a lot of union jobs that would be good-paying jobs that are now once again put on hold, if not indefinitely. These things are, you know, they're not going over like they used to. It's like a worn-out act or a worn-out play or a magic trick that you've seen over and over and over again before finally...
You know how it's done.
Yeah, either you know how it's done or you're just so bored by it, you don't care anymore. And I think that's where the president's finding himself, and I think that's where Al Shakedown Sharpton is going to be finding himself. Because when the people that you were supposedly helping call you a shakedown artist and they're black like you are... and they're saying the things that white folk like us have been saying? That ain't a good day for Al Shakedown Sharpton. I'm here to tell you that right now. He had a bad day yesterday. It's only going to get worse for him. And eventually he will have to pay the IRS, or someone will pay it for him. That's what I figure is going to happen. Somebody, unless he gets in a lot of trouble with this shakedown business, but somebody I thought would probably step up and lay $5 or $10 million on him so he could pay the IRS. I'm here to tell you, I prepared taxes for 33 years, and people would come to me with all kinds of schemes and this and that. And the other. Oh, you know, I'm just going to quit filing my, they'll never find me. The IRS will find you eventually. And they will come after you for their money eventually. I don't care who you are.
I could see him, no matter what happens with the IRS, I could see anything commuted by this president.
Well, if it happens during this administration, which I highly doubt. But you see, the IRS is going to be around when the next administration comes into town, too. And if that person who's running the White House at that time doesn't have that security blanket to throw over old Shakedown, he's going to be in a whole lot of trouble. He may be
we wearing, can only hope.
Instead of that silk underwear he wears, he's probably going to maybe wearing some of that pink underwear like old Joe Arpaio.
Oh, yeah.
Wouldn't that be funny?
I'd like to see pictures of that.
I'm not so sure I would. When we come back, Senator Ron Johnson on the show. And don't forget, tonight's is already booked, the free screening of American Sniper, but you can still get tickets for tomorrow night's show by going to am660theanswer.com. It'll be at 7:30 both nights at the Premier Cinema 14 at the Fashion Square Mall. And by the way, when you're on the internet, please go on to the American Adversaries radio.com website. And as I said, check out our prior shows. If you didn't hear that show Sunday night, I got some great reviews from the show. So please do check it out. And we had a good time talking to Roxy Astor and
Sonny,
the Glow Girls about their times in the wrestling ring. And so it was a lot of fun Sunday night.
And they both know my brother's next door neighbor.
Yeah, your brother's next door. How do you like that? Yes, sir. The Adams family gets around. All right. So as I said, when we come back, we're going to have Senator Ron Johnson from Wisconsin, and we're going to take him from 535 straight to the top of the hour. No commercial break. So if you got to go somewhere and do something, do it real quick during this break, but try to take us with you as you do it.
Well, yeah, it's not one of those things you're going to want to run to the bathroom for. Do it now. And also, if you have any questions,
take us with you.
Well, we'll go for you. How's that? But no, really, if you'd like to ask the senator something, this is your chance. You've seen him on Fox News. He's been on our show before. This fellow knows what's going on in America. So write down those questions and call us back, 407-774-8255.
Here is tonight's American Adversaries Soundbite RX News Minute. SoundbiteRx.com, a great way to be better informed. Today's Soundbite RX News Minute is brought to you by My Liberty Threads. American made, America proud. MyLibertyThreads.com.
Hi, this is Christopher Hart once again for SoundbiteRx.com with a little sample of the medicine you'll find brand new there today, like this one right here. The Obama administration, yes, they've got an attack plan against ISIS. They are going to tweet them to death. That's right. They're going to hit them with them tweets. Oh, boy, that's a great strategy. You'll find out all about it today. And Marie Harf, you know, old Barf Harf. Yeah, she's got a master's degree. Yeah, in her college thesis, guess what her topic was? How conservative support for Israel complicates U.S. foreign policy. Yeah, I think maybe what she wants to do to uncomplicate it is get rid of conservatives and get rid of Israel. Anyway, you'll find that story brand new today, soundbiterx.com. Here's a story that's been developing that we're looking into, and we're going to be talking about it more and more as the campaign goes on. Hillary Clinton has been accepting, as part of the Clinton Foundation, huge contributions from foreign states like Saudi Arabia and others. And it just, you know, creates a sort of conflict of interest sort of thing. And also this brand new today, President Obama says the GOP is bamboozling America. Well, I guess it takes one to know one, right, Mr. President? We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to the show, folks. That's right, you got the American Adversaries on AM 660, The Answer, in drive time. And I got some good news and, well, some maybe not so good news. Well, it is still good news. Both American Sniper movies are, all the tickets are gone. I'm sorry, we told you.
For tonight
you.
And tomorrow.
Yeah, if you didn't get them, there's been a late surge and they are all gone. So we thank you very much for that response and we look forward to seeing you tonight. I'll be there for the American Sniper movie, the free showing, compliments of Arms Room Radio and Max Law Firm, Max Law. Orlando.com.
Tremendous response, too.
Yeah, tremendous response. So, once again, thanks for that response. Also, some other great news. Salem Media Group and CNN. Of course, Salem Media Group is the owner of this station and the others here in Orlando in this complex, WTLN and WBZW. They are teaming up with CNN this fall for the GOP candidate debates, and our very own Hugh Hewitt will be at least one of our on-air talents who will be asking questions of the GOP candidates. So we certainly look forward to that, and it starts in September, kicking it off at the Reagan Library. No better place to kick off a GOP presidential campaign than that right there. And I know a man who's going to be right in the thick of it. If he's not on that podium, that stage that day, he'll at least be there, I'm sure. And he's going to have a big role to play in who the next president of this country is. Of course, I'm talking about Senator Ron Johnson from the great state of Wisconsin. Senator Johnson, thanks again for being with us on the American Adversaries.
Hey, guys, how you doing? It's been a while.
It's been way too long. We need to...
We've missed you.
Yeah, we absolutely do miss you.
Likewise.
And it's always great talking to you, and we always come away feeling like we're smarter than when we went in. Let's start off with a little presidential politicking. Your governor of the state of Wisconsin, of course, is Scott Walker. He's been doing great things for the state of Wisconsin up there. Wish he could do them for the rest of the country. You may know some inside scoop. Is he really in for good for the run? And what would he be like as a president?
Oh, you know, I think that's kind of obvious that Scott's going to certainly seek the nomination. He hasn't announced it, but again, I think that's just obvious in terms of what he's doing, setting up, and how he's traveling around.
Okay.
Listen, Scott Walker showed real courage, and I think Scott Walker showed he was willing to fight for principles, and that's really what people want to see. We're so concerned about this country. We want to see elected officials, fight for what they believe, and tell people what they're going to do, and then when they get elected, follow through and try to actually accomplish those objectives. And, I don't think the country really understands how vicious it got in Wisconsin, the types of death threats, not only to the governor, but to members of the Assembly and the state Senate.
His own family.
Email. It's just unbelievably vicious. And so that really took some real courage. And I think a lot of Americans, have heard that story. They've seen it. They've witnessed it. And again, I'm obviously a big Scott Walker supporter, as you can just hear by my brief description. The primary process is going to be important. It's essential that the Republican win the presidency this year if we're going to put this nation on the right path. So in the end, I'll support whoever, but I'm a big Scott Walker supporter because he's really shown that kind of courage.
He's, of course, turning some heads. Obviously, the other side has noticed him. We can tell that by the way the media has taken a disliking to him. They're throwing these...
stupid questions.
I was going to get to that, but first of all, they're trying to make a big deal out of the fact he didn't graduate college. Well, most of the people I knew who graduate college aren't doing as well as people who never went, including myself. But it seems to me that we have enough eggheads in Washington, D.C. We need somebody with some common sense, somebody that knows how to get things done.
Leadership.
And knows leadership. And I think he fits the bill.
No, America is hungering for courageous leadership, and that's what Scott Walker has demonstrated. And, I think other people in the field that have done that as well. We've got a pretty deep bench, which is a good thing. And I think Ryan Priebus, another fellow Wisconsinite, I think is doing a pretty smart thing in terms of trying to skinny down the whole debate process, make sure that the moderators for our Republican primary debates are actually supporters, aren't trying to destroy our candidates, but actually try and elicit the type of information that Republican primary voters need to pick the best and strongest candidates. So I think that's a good positive move. So Again, it's a crucial process. I'm actually kind of looking forward to it.
You know, and he's been getting some criticism because of his response to this ridiculous, as Lair calls it, question about what Rudy Giuliani said. I mean, it's interesting that every time a Republican says anything, the media goes scurrying around, jamming their microphones in Republicans' faces, but they never do it, as Marco Rubio said the other day, you never do it to Democrats when Joe Biden says something, you know, that's off the wall.
We're putting his hands on someone.
Yeah, go ahead.
You're not claiming there's double standard in the media, are you?
Well, I guess
foolish.
I must have my 10 conspiracy hat on because it certainly appears it to me. But I thought he gave a very smart answer. First of all, he said, look, you know, that's not really important. What's important now is going forward. I'm paraphrasing. I'm sort of paraphrasing what he said. But he also said, how do I know? And I thought that was a pretty honest answer. And if anybody's out there being really honest, how can we know?
I think any elected official, any candidate that always tries to bring the conversation back to the priority issues, the real serious problems facing either your state or your country, I think that's just really what the public's looking for, too. I think the public gets a little disgusted with this process. They really are, like you say, hungering for real courageous leadership. And, you know, certainly from my standpoint, I hope the debate is elevated. You know, as chairman of the Senate Committee on Homeland Security and Government Affairs, I was interviewing somebody for a staff position, and this individual asked me, probably the best question, he said, Senator, after a year, what does success look under your chairmanship? And had never thought of it, but had an immediate answer. I said, if every presidential candidate, both Republican and Democrat, are having to address the issues we are raising in our committee, we've been successful because, you know, I think one of my missions has really been to try and highlight the prioritized problems, try and reveal the reality. And let's face it, across the board, the reality of our fiscal situation, of the threats we face with ISIS is not real pleasant, but we'll never solve the problems. And if we just turn our face, if we just bury our head in the sand on these things, we have to face these realities. And I'm really hoping that certainly Republican candidates face these realities and have an honest discussion and debate with the American public, because that's what we need to solve these problems.
Well, I know that with Salem Media Group and guys like Hugh Hewitt conducting the debate, you're going to get much better questions, much more pertinent, relevant questions.
Than Candy Crowley?
Yeah, and the likes of that crowd there. But you know, I'm glad that you went. You've talked about this, because to me it's very important. I saw Rand Paul at a local Orange County Republican Executive Committee dinner a couple of weeks ago, and he said the worst thing that he thought that Barack Obama has done is, I'm paraphrasing again, violate the Constitution and break the law and make law on his own without. And I grant that, but I think the worst thing he has done is he has dragged the conversation, the debate, so way far to the left. And really what we do need to do is bring the debate back to the right, bring it back to reality, if you will, and then we lay really the foundation for leadership going forward.
First of all, to have to pick the worst thing that President Obama has done, the most destruction he's created both domestically and internationally, is a pretty hard thing.
Yeah. You got a lot of choices there.
I'm sorry?
I would say his divisiveness.
Yeah.
And if you want a particular historic blunder, strategic blunder, it really was in not leaving a stabilizing force behind Iraq that not only would have stabilized Iraq, probably would have prevented the rise of ISIS from the ashes of what was al-Qaeda in Iraq, but also would have really provided some stability for the entire Middle East region.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think his divisiveness overall, general, that's the worst quality that he's brought to the table. But specifically, that strategic blunder, not leaving stabilizing force, is probably the worst.
Okay. I want to come back to that, but first I have to ask you about the DHS. Obviously, that's the big business going on in Washington right now. Are they going to hang out the out-to-lunch sign and just not come back after Friday, or is something going to get done?
I mean, I've got no crystal ball. I think the salient point here is to recognize that every Republican I know wants to fully fund the essential and lawful activities of Department of Homeland Security. And by the way, so does every Democrat. So there's the area of agreement. Let's concentrate on that. It's important to recognize that it was President Obama to pick this to fight this fight. He's the one that introduced immigration reform into what should have just been a funding issue with the Department of Homeland Security, and it's Democrats in the Senate that have four times now denied us the ability to just get on an appropriation bill on the floor of the Senate, which is probably the best place to try and work out some agreement, you know, some measure of compromise so that we can accomplish what we all want to accomplish, keep America safe, and fund the department. But, you know, unfortunately, again, because of that double standard in the news media, that's not the way it's being reported, and that's unfortunate.
No, and I must say, and correct me if I'm wrong here, but the Republican leadership doesn't look like they're all on the same page. In other words, the House is saying, well, we've already done our work. We're not going to do anything else. And, of course, Mitch McConnell is dealing with the reality that he only has 54 votes in the Senate where you need 60. It seems to me we could be presenting a little bit more unified message. Am I wrong?
Well, I mean, I'd always like to see that. I'd like to see more coordination. I've worked long and hard at the strategic planning process to provide that House and Senate coordination, but it's hard. I mean, in the Senate, we don't have the votes to pass things.
Right.
Sure, we control the floor now. We can certainly set up these motions to proceed votes, but we can't guarantee the result. And then Speaker Boehner has got a broad spectrum of opinion within his chamber as well. So these things aren't easy, and again, it's difficult to deal with an executive, a president, a commander-in-chief who just does not feel constrained by the Constitution. These are very serious issues we're dealing with here, and they should be debated, and the president should be challenged on these things. Now, the good thing, and I think this is where we've got a path forward on this, is President Obama's executive action has now been ruled unlawful,
right?
By a judge, and it's a very well-reasoned opinion. I'm not a lawyer, but it's convincing me. I would be surprised if it was overturned on appeal to the Fifth Circuit.
Yep.
And so, I think that does. I've been calling all day. I've been calling on President Obama to acknowledge the fact that a judge has ruled his activities unlawful. Set it aside. That's the area of disagreement. We agree on funding the department. Let's do that. Let's set aside his executive order. If he would just tell Congress, I won't try and implement that until after the start of the next fiscal year, or in any event, until the court actually rules on that, we could fund the department in no time.
All right.
But, of course, I don't think he's going to do that because he is divisive and he's playing politics with this issue, which is very unfortunate.
Yeah, well, that's all really he knows how to do. He doesn't know how to lead. He's lost. And so he goes back to where he feels comfortable. Senator, let me ask you this. You sit on one of the most powerful foreign policy committees in the Senate, and you obviously know things, about the security of this nation. We're hearing threats in particular, now naming particular malls, the Mall of America. How serious do you feel the threat is, and what else should the president be doing?
The threat is real. It's serious. It's a real clear and present danger. There's absolutely no doubt about it. We have really strengthened our defenses. That's true. I truthfully am not aware of a specific credible threat. Obviously, El Shabaab did name these two malls, which just points to how disruptive even a threat could potentially be, much less an actual act. So we need to take all of these threats seriously. And from my standpoint, there's two primary actions we need to take. We need to secure the border, for not only to solve the immigration problem, but as a public health and safety imperative, as well as a national security imperative. And we do need to decimate ISIS. The sooner the better. And we've had Secretary Kerry in front of our Foreign Relations Committee this afternoon on talking about the State Department budget. And I was really trying to elicit from him, what does the president mean by defeat? I've got a feeling he doesn't mean what I mean by defeat.
Right.
And I'm afraid his time frame is far longer than what my time frame is. I think this is an urgent problem that needs to be addressed with far greater resolution, greater resolve than what this president is really bringing the table at this point in time.
Well, Senator, you've gone right where I kind of wanted you to go, because my next question is going to be, it's the Constitution in Article 1, Section 8, paragraphs 11 through 14, I believe, gives the Congress the power to declare war, to set the rules of engagement, and also the rules about how prisoners will be held and treated. Why not the Republicans get together in the Senate and do just that?
But we will be hearing, holding hearings on the authorization for use of military force. And the questions I'll be asking again is, what does President Obama mean by his goal? I mean, specifically, what is defeat? And then what's the strategy? And the authorization, the wording, is kind of the last step in that process. But guys, I've got to go. I certainly enjoyed talking to you. Let's not do this so infrequently in the future.
All right. Well, we certainly appreciate you spending some time with us this afternoon, Senator Johnson, and we will. We'll do this on a much more regular basis.
Keep it up on that IRS investigation. You guys are doing a great job.
Will. We're going to get to the bottom of that. I smell a rat. I smell a bunch of rats.
Oh, boy, do we too.
Real quickly, if we get a bad deal with Iran, can the Senate do anything about it?
Well, we should press this administration to have that be an up or down vote. We should ratify that deal.
You better believe
it. That's what we're going to press for.
All right. Thank you so much, Senator. All right. Thank you very much for being with us. All right. You just heard it straight from the senator's mouth. And we'll try to get him back again in the near future. Nostradamus, I was just getting ready to go to you when the senator had to get out of the – I know they're doing business up there. He's probably got called away to a vote.
Oh, he's got to vote on something. I hope it's something good. I was going to ask him how his friend Scott Walker's doing. You know, standing next to Rudy Giuliani is now a political liability.
Well, you know, we
talked to him about that.
We asked him about that, and he's a big Scott Walker backer. He says Scott Walker's a strong leader, and he's not afraid to be decisive and make common sense decisions. And so Scott Walker will be a player. He also told us that he doesn't have Scott Walker's not confirmed it, but he certainly believes that Scott Walker is in the race.
Yeah, so, I heard a great turn on this from another potential candidate. Bobby Jindal says he doesn't know what's in the president's heart or in his brain. All he knows is that this president is unfit to lead the nation. And I think that sums it up.
Yeah.
Over and above trying to determine what we think is in somebody else's heart and mind. His actions prove he is unfit to lead this nation.
And I'm glad you brought that up, because this goes to what Carl Jackson has been talking about on his shows recently, what we talked about on our Sunday night show with Carl and then this past Sunday night. The Republicans need to know how to reframe the argument. What Bobby Jindal did was just reframe that whole thing. You know, he basically said, look, that doesn't matter. This is what matters. And that's all Republicans have to do, is basically do variations of that doesn't matter, this does matter.
Right. Don't make an argument that can be easily not disproved, but that can be easily dismissed as well. You don't know, so how would you possibly?
Yeah, but this is what I was talking about with the senator, you know, and when I said I think the most damaging thing the president is, and isn't it ironic, you know, that here we're talking about the most damaging thing a president has done. Boy, oh boy.
A long list.
Yeah,
it's a long list.
It is. And I said the fact that he has taken the conversation so far to the left, and he said it's because he's divisive. I think that those two go hand in hand. You know, his conversation is so far one-sided, it can't help but be divisive. And we need to bring it back. And that's going to be a monumental task. It's going to be a monumental chore to get people who are thinking they should have an Obama phone to think that they need to go out there and work and earn money to buy their own phone. It's going to be a monumental task, but it has to be done. And him saying that them using the committees in Washington, D.C. to begin to frame the debate for the next presidential election, I thought was an encouraging sign.
And I guess you heard the news that Salem Broadcasting is going to be a part of the debate with CNN, and our colleague Hugh Hewitt is going to be asking candidates some questions.
Yeah, and from what I understand, there will be other radio hosts as well who will be participating in this.
You're going to jump in on it, Chris? You going to do it?
Well, when I heard about it, I said, we want a piece of the action. That's all I know, so we shall see. But the first debate will be in September, coming from the Reagan Library. And Hugh Hewitt probably will be the master of ceremonies. Obviously, he won't be the only one on the panel, but it's going to be encouraging. And I also find it, once again, I don't know if you heard me during the second segment of the show, Nostradamus, but I said there's something in the air. Something has changed in the air. And it's not that dog poo-poo I stepped in this afternoon. I got that off my shoe. No, something has changed. That summit that was last week was supposed to be held this fall. For some reason, the Obama administration felt it necessary to move that all up. and a much faster time frame. And the Justice Department not going after Zimmerman. That's a minor thing. But Al Sharpton now being called a shakedown artist by the family of Trayvon Martin and people in Ferguson, and Erica Garner, the daughter of Michael Garner. I think it's Michael Garner, but the fellow by the name of Garner who was killed in New York with a submission hold. Something is changing. And, you know, Lair brought it out. MSNBC has demoted, shall we say, Al Sharpton.
Want to move him to weekends only.
They're looking for this. Is kind of like the Brian Williams thing. You can't do it all in one shot. You have to first move him to weekends, then watch him fail there, and then say, hey, we tried, but there's nothing we can do. And, you know, now Reverend Al is going to be the target of a multi-billion-dollar lawsuit. I don't know if you guys heard that story.
Yes.
Well, I heard. Can you give us some details?
I do not have all of them in front of me. All I know is that it is it's a whole bunch of broadcasters, African-American broadcasters, who don't like the things he's done. And I'll get you details on tomorrow's show.
I tell you, something is changing in the air. These same old players are finding that their same old tricks aren't going over anymore. And, by the way, people in Ferguson said that he was there inciting violence. There, we know that he did it here.
Mm-hmm, sure.
You know, no peace, no justice, no justice, no peace, whatever the little chant was. If that's not inciting violence, when he's going to be the definer of what justice is, oh, no.
His justice.
That's right. So something's in the air, Nostradamus.
It is. And you know what else is going to be on the air, at least in about an hour and a half? I'll be joining you down at the Fashion Square Mall along with Mrs. Nostradamus. We're going to see American Sniper with you.
All right. And a full house.
It's sold out tonight and tomorrow, Dennis.
It's full house.
I'll stand in the back then. I don't care.
S-R-O.
I tell you what, I'll sit on the floor in the front of the front row. It's a great movie. But, yeah, we will see you there. Anything else new on Facebook today?
If you go to our Facebook page, you'll see some of the stories we put out there. Defense Minister Moshe Yaalon of Israel does not like this deal between what he calls messianic, apocalyptic Iran and the six world powers. He calls this a great danger to the peace of the Western world and a danger to the security of the state of Israel.
And that's where I wanted to go with Senator Ron Johnson next. And I did, you know, get that last question in there. I really don't think that there's much the Senate can do about this. He said they're going to ask for or demand an up or down vote. This is not a treaty per se. This is an agreement. And I don't think that it will require Senate ratification. And if that's the case, we're going to get a bad deal, and it's going to be bad for Israel, and it's going to be bad for everybody. And, yes, there will be a nuclear arms race in the Middle East, which will, I guarantee you, culminate in the doggone things being used.
And it's also going to put Israel at the forefront. They're going to have to respond, and they don't care what we think.
This is the irony of the peaceniks like Barack Obama. Their efforts to make peace only make war more certain.
If you look at the logic behind this proposed deal, it's kind of like saying to a mass murderer, okay, you can only kill one person a year for the next 5 years. Then you can step it up after that.
And kill as many as you want. I mean, this is insane, which is why Israel will be forced to do something. That's why I say this will be no peace deal with Iran. It will be a deal that will lead to war with Iran.
And maybe Netanyahu will be setting that up with his little speech to Congress.
That'll be Monday, and of course we will be listening to that with all ears. All right, great work, Nostradamus. We appreciate you so much. See you down at the Fashion Square.
See you then.
Okay. All right, folks, once again, we'd love to have you be a part of the American Adversaries Army. The first newsletter is out. The next one's coming out. By the way, for you recent recruits who haven't got your first newsletter, you'll get it within a day or two. All you have to do to join is go to AmericanAdversariesRadio.com, go to the recruiting office, and for $5 a month, you can be a part of the American Adversaries Army and be a part of what we're doing around here. And we really appreciate the folks who have signed up already, and we would like, of course, all of our listeners to be a part of our army. The more, the better. The more out there who join us, the more that we can do. All right, it's Tuesday, so that means it is Free Refresh Tuesday. You can take your computer, your laptop, to Refresh Computers right there in Longwood between Ronald Reagan and 436. on 434 between Ronald Reagan and 1792. Free refresh computer every Tuesday. And also there's location in the Villages. So head on down there. Tell them you heard about it on the American Adversaries and give big David Levitt a big high five because he's a big part of our army. That's free refresh Tuesdays every Tuesday at Refresh Computers.
And it sounds like Chris has the movies in his sights. Have a good time of the show tonight, folks.
Not everybody.
AM 660, The Answer, WORL, Altamont Springs, Orlando. A service of Salem Communications. Intelligent, conservative, AM 660.